Can His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj explain today what is Vrindavan, the land in which Radha and Krishna's pastimes took place? He made a very important point. He said Vrindavan is where three rasas are displayed, which are nowhere else in the spiritual world displayed. It's the rasa of the Sakya rasa, the friendship. You don't hear that anyone climbs on Narayan's shoulder. It's the Vatsalya rasa, where devotees worship the Lord as their parents. We also have not heard of the father and mother of Narayan. Not heard. And it's Madhurya rasa, very confidential, amorous pastime. So I would like to tell you in the beginning a little story about from the Vatsalya rasa. You remember how Krishna could never be captured stealing, but there were rumors that he was stealing butter. And this morning we heard how Mother Yashoda demanded that the gopis please give a solid proof by capturing Krishna red-handed. We know how Krishna escaped Prabhavati's detective work, where she actually found him and captured him, put him on the bag, and the Krishna just transformed into her son. And Mother Yashoda was saying, Prabhavati, people usually become more mature when they get old, but you are becoming very immature. You have your own son on the back. We heard this very nicely explained by our Maharaj, together with flute showers and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful things in Vrindavan. So I would like to just give pleasure to our Bhakti Charu Maharaj and to all of you by telling you another story in that milk and yogurt and butter stealing pastimes of the Lord. But the gopis would always have their freshly churned butter and other milk products stolen by Krishna. Actually, inside their heart they thought, hopefully Krishna is attracted by my butter and by my yogurt. It comes and steals it. But externally, not in the heart, they pretended that stealing is not going to be wrong. So, my God, this is loud. I'm sorry?
Maybe we can up the volume of your microphone.
Maybe we can increase the volume. That's done in India. Yes. I think you can understand me.
Yes.
It's all right. We can hear. But has someone gone and informed the boys that there is a lecture going on?
Just now.
Yes.
Also, Radha Vinod Venkat has told them.
Okay.
Now, Lila Vilas is in
there. Good. Because I need an atmosphere where there is no sound, and you will see it in a moment. Why? So the gopis thought, let us somehow make a trap for Krishna, and if we do so, catch him red-handedly. So what they did is, they put a clay pot with the best of butter on top of a tree, and then they put many, many bells, thousands of bells, up in the tree. The plan was they would move away so that Krishna would think no one is there, and he would see, of course, the butter pot in the tree. Maybe his monkey friends would tell him, or he would see in another way, and then Krishna would climb the tree. And as he was in the tree, he would move towards the butter pot, all these bells would go off, and it would be something like in the West, an alarm system, you know, a very simple alarm system. That was the plan. So they prepared the tree, a fine tree at the edge of Vrindavan town. They put many bells, as many as they could gather on a string, around a pot of the best of butters, which had a very fragrant smell. Then they went back in their homes, and they were very attentive. When the bells would go off, then they would rush to the tree. Krishna would be up in the tree. There would be no point of escaping. He would not be able to escape. And he would have his mouth smeared with the butter. And they would surround the tree. And then tell Mother Yashoda to come and see her darling boy as a thief. And that would be the proof. That was the plan. So it was executed. Not before much time, Krishna came by. He always walks very playfully, and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he often skips, you know, like this. So he came to the tree. It was clear. He saw the butter and he saw the bell. So he climbed very stealthily while looking at the gopis on the tree. And when he came to the bell, he said, "I am Bhagavan. I'm giving you the order. Don't ring." Then he continued. He went into the tree. He went to the milk or the butter. And he took his hand and he brought the hand to the mouth. And at this particular moment, the bell went off. I mean, not one bell, but thousands of bells. Immediately, all the gopis started running to the tree. Krishna said, "Hare, what are you doing? I told you not to ring. Now I will be captured. It's too late to get down. Why did you ring?" The bells, the best of bells, answered, "Hey, Bhagavan. In the Vedas you say, whenever Bhagavan eats something, the bell must sound. When you told us to be silent, we were silent, according to your instruction. But when you ate, we followed your other instruction to ring. Make up your mind, please." What could Krishna say? These bells must have come from Vaikuntha, you know. So he just, all the gopis came there and they were standing around. "Ha, what are you doing on the tree, Gopal? Surely you must have some purpose there, otherwise you would not have gone there. And there is the best of butter and you're stealing this. We have brought, already informed Yashoda, and we will now judge you. So Yashoda came. And the Gopi said, see here, he is on the tree, can't escape. His hand is full of butter, there is a butter pot. It's very clear he is a thief. The Gopal said from above the tree, no! Oh, you who are less intelligent in deciding the cause of a person's movement, I am here because I lost my calf. Said the gopis, calves are climbing trees? In Vrindavan they do, said Gopal. Then where is your calf? This moment, Krishna took his lovely hand, which is reddish in the inside, bluish in the outside, went into the butter pot and took a marble calf out. This calf was stolen by some of the gopis here, I don't know who, and hidden in the most difficult place. But by my friend, the parrot, I was informed of this very, very, very mean-minded thievery. And I came to get my marble calf back. No one can catch Krishna, but he doesn't want to be caught. Mother Yashoda said, see, my Gopal is speaking very wisely. His hand is full of butter, not because he still wants to steal butter, but because he wants to reclaim the stolen calf. He is moral and you are immoral. Hare Krishna. So, once after this, Krishna came to Yashoda and said, Mother, I can't stop stealing. You cannot stop stealing. No, my devotees are preparing this butter with an honest intention to please me. I can never, ever not accept the devotion of my devotees. Therefore, I must steal. I must steal their hearts. So this is the reason why Krishna steals butter. You know, as the beautiful gopis produce this butter, they chanted the Bilva Mangala has composed a very nice song. They chant, Govinda Hedamoda Madhaveti. They chant the three names which also appear in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. All of their attention is absorbed in Krishna and how to bring Krishna pleasure. And Krishna cannot not accept this. Krishna, all this, as he speaks in the sacred scripture, is accepting the offering of his devotees when it is done with love. Even if it's only a leaf, a little water or flower, if it is offered with love, Krishna says in the Gita, I accept this. He must accept it. And for this, he becomes the butter thief. To accept what the devotees, what the gopis lovingly offer him. And to give pleasure, in this case, to increase the hasya rasa of laughter, he does this very clever. After telling this easy story, I want to go a little bit deeper with you. I would like to talk about Krishna Leela with a certain perspective, and that is receiving Krishna within the heart. In that famous work, which Sanatana Goswami wrote in his mature old age, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's very interesting what type of leela is happening when Gop Kumar finally returns to the spiritual world. What he sees, how he makes contact with Krishna. This leela is chosen very purposefully by Srila Sanatana Goswami. It is very purposefully brought into his work in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You must know about this work that it is an outstanding work for many reasons, but one of the reasons is that you find here the author, the writer, Sanatana Goswami, giving purpose to the shlokas which he has himself composed. This is extraordinary. It is not done that the writer... it's extraordinary. This is what I want to say. It's a very important work, and everything there is chosen extremely consciously. Why did Sanatana Goswami choose the leela where we, the readers, and where Gop Kumar, first of all, becomes introduced to Krishna in the way he becomes introduced? I think all of you were in His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj's class this morning. Yes? May I know who was there? That is most of you. So you remember when Gop Kumar finally arrives in the spiritual world, he, in Goloka Vrindavan, he wants to meet Krishna. And he asks around, where is Krishna? But no one seems to be able to answer him, because Krishna has left the village of Vrindavan in the morning to herd his cows, and he took the minds of his devotees with him. This is described in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto, where the gopis are left in the village of Vrindavan, and they talk about Krishna, and they describe very, very nicely some Krishna's activities which take place not in the village of Vrindavan, but outside the village in the forest, far away. How can they describe and see everything? Their minds have gone with him. For instance, if my mind could be now with Radhanath Maharaj, I would be able to tell you everything he does. I know he drinks water now. I would be able to tell you, is he walking or not walking to get rid of his seasickness? This would be possible if my mind would not be here, but would be in La Rochelle. With him. So the gopis' mind, the gopis are able to describe what Krishna does in the forest of Vrindavan, because Krishna took their minds with him. This is an attribute of Krishna, that he is Manasa Chandra Chakora. He is the lord of the mind. He can attract, or he's Chitta Hari. He steals the Chitta. Chitta means our core of the heart, our innermost mind. He steals that. He's a Hari. At least when we become more responsive to Krishna, we are thinking of Krishna all the time. That's what Gauranga Mahaprabhu is showing us, that he was in Puri, but at the same time he would see everything as Vrindavan, and sometimes he would see the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. We heard this from Radhanath Maharaj on that one evening when he talked about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described when he was in the ocean, he was floating in the ocean, but he saw Krishna and the Jamuna engaging in pastimes with the gopis, of splashing the water. His mind was there. His mind was stolen by Chitahari, by Krishna. So when Gopkumar enters the spiritual world and asks about Krishna, the devotees look at him but don't answer. The mind is with Krishna. And finally he meets someone who takes compassion on him and tells him Krishna will come in the afternoon. Now it is this return of Krishna, it's called Uttara Goshta. When he comes from the Goshta, Goshta means the meadows where he grazes the cow, back to Vrindavan. And it is in this Leela where Gopkumar sees Krishna for the first time. And I would like now to talk a little bit about this Leela. I don't want to do this to just entertain you with yet another pastime that I did in the beginning when I talked about this pastime. Now we will be a little bit more serious and go deeper. We want to now understand how to receive Krishna in our heart. There is an ancient scripture so called Sri Sanat Kumar Sangita, which we often quote. Meeting with his Gopa friends, where this is described, pastimes in the afternoon. It's described by Vrinda Devi, to Narada Muni. Krishna meets with his Gopa friends, takes the cows with him, and attracting everyone with the music of his flute, Lord Krishna returned to the village of Braj. Everyone hears the sound of Krishna's flute and sees how the sky is filled with the dust raised by the cows. King Nanda and all the men, women, and children of Braj stopped all that they were doing and ran to see Krishna. So then what this means is they run to the gate of Vrindavan. On Sanat Kumar Sangita describes a royal road, that's the main road, and they see a beautiful scene of Krishna coming home. And it is this scene in which Brihad Bhagavatamrita brings us in. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, you will find descriptions, or one great description, how Narada Muni first sees Krishna. It's, you know, when he sits down under the banyan tree and then he has his first darshan. It is described that Narada Muni at that time first hears the flute of Krishna, this Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, then he hears the sound of Krishna's anger bells, okay, a little like this, but more beautiful, and then he has the full darshan of Krishna and receives Krishna. But before a devotee can receive Krishna like this, he has to pay a price. He has to come to the level of intense eagerness and a desire to be with Krishna like that of Gopkumar. We heard this morning how Gopkumar was not even satisfied in Dwaraka, because in Dwaraka there is Krishna, but he never plays his flute there and he doesn't hurt the cows. It's not the Vrindavan Krishna. Only Vrindavan Krishna is perfect. It's like when Krishna is in Vrindavan, he's like the full moon. When he is in Mathura, he is like the full moon one day before the full moon. And when he is in Dwaraka, he's like the full moon 2 days before full fat full moon. No? So, before Krishna comes, my dear devotees, you must have a heart which is so full of eagerness that you do not put your attention somewhere else any longer. I think this is in the mind of our captain, Bhakti Charu Maharaj. He has organized this cruise not so that we get lost in the bingo club or in the disco. He has arranged this katas for you, Prabhupada, Chaitanya, and Krishna katas, so that you become a little bit more eager for Krishna. So, the eagerness for Krishna on all levels, on our level, beginner's level, at the highest level, the Brijvasis, is all this the precondition before Krishna shows himself. Before he came in the heart of Narada Muni, Narada Muni was Utkanta. He was so eager that he stretched his neck out of the collar. Utkanta means collar of a shirt. So this eagerness, so important. When Krishna was out of Vrindavan, the Brijvasis spent their day deeply absorbed in Krishna Samadhi. Radha's thoughts reflect a little bit what would go on in the mind of the Brijvasis. Radha said like this, "Oh no, when will this day come to an end and Krishna walk into the path of my eyes? When will the evening arrive and bring the auspicious sight of Sri Nandanandana? We will see Krishna's curly locks of hair covered with the dust of the cow's hoof prints. We will see his moon-like face, and in this way the suffering of our eyes will be dispelled." Oh no! This day is like two grinding stones. My life is like the grains, and the grinding stones never stop. They grind and grind and grind. Oh heart, why are you suffering so much and don't die? At this time, when devotees suffer the pangs of separation from Krishna, they are eager. There is only one thing which can help them. What do you think is the only thing which helps for devotees who are eager to meet Krishna? Krishna Katha. Tava Katha Mritam Tapta Jivanam Abhiviritam Kalma Shapanam Shavanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhumi Bhavantiye Yeburidajana. I heard this verse first sung by my older brother Bhakti Charu Maharaj, and I want to brag before him and show him that I have learned his melody. It is a sincere song. It says, "Oh, those who talk about Krishna, they are the true welfare workers." No? Because it is with their katamritam, the nectar of their talk, they revive us. Maybe you are not interested to hear about Krishna because you have your interest all over the universe. But the moment you get a little bit more Krishna consciousness, you will actually want to know, where is Krishna? What is he doing? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Just like we asked now, where is Prashada? that will become replaced, and the taste which we have now for material things due to avidya, ignorance, will become exchange, and we will just want to ask, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? This will actually happen as you chant the holy name, which is like a rising sun in our heart, and which dispels this avidya, this ignorance.
So,
there is one gopi who just comes from the forest of Vrindavan and tells Radha that Krishna is just now coming. Soon the misery will be over. And gives some talk about Krishna to Radha's ears, and Radha then becomes very happy. Now, Krishna, meanwhile, sees that the sun is in the western horizon. And he decides to bring the cows back to Vrindavan. He knows the sun is setting. So he calls out, "Hey Davali! Hey Hansi!" And he calls all the cows together. He knows all their names. And they come running. And everything is in a joyful mood. The cowherd boys, "No, we are going home now with Gopal." They begin to play also on their flutes, and they dance, and the whole procession, so to say, comes home. There is an endless amount of cows with Krishna. So Krishna looks like a black captain, and Balaram looks like a white captain, who are steering the boat of the cows back to Vrindavan. And they shout, "Hey, hey, whoo, whoo," and they know the signals. I don't know the signals. But I know that you can call to cows and they follow. I was for 3 years of my childhood a cowherd boy. you will not believe, but yes, I had to take care of 100 cows, and I would have to bring them from the meadow into an encamped thing, you know, where we would milk them, the other cowherd boys. And this is how I earned my money for my nonsense activities. I want to say that this was not glorious, but all day. So we know you just have to make the right sounds. The cows go, whatever you say. This is possible. So everyone was joyful except the animals of the forest. The peacock was just so distressed. Krishna, who had danced with them, Krishna, who had accepted their peacock feathers and placed them in his head, was now leaving the forest of Vrindavan. They were so distressed that they pulled their feathers behind them, like a woman who loses her hair and just doesn't mind it any longer. In this way, the peacocks were just so distressed. Do you know what the little birds who were flying did? They took their wings and were beating their chests because they felt so much separation already from Krishna, who is now leaving the forest and returning to his village. The egrets, I looked that up in the dictionary. These are the, you know, long birds with long feet like this, and who have a silvery, a white body. You know, they stand there usually. They look very passive because they stand in the water and they wait for some fish to come by. They pretend to be a vegetarian yogi when the fish comes. So they forget all about their pretense, and they fly back and forth, hither and thither, searching every lake to find out where is Krishna. But Krishna has already gone out of the forest and is going towards Nandagram. Now, just before Nandagram, Krishna gives another signal. All the cows are now moving very quickly because they want to go home, see the calves, in some cases, very newborn calves, who are very, very small, and they want to feed them. Very enthusiastic. All of a sudden, Krishna makes a raga, which means stop. Although they want to go to their children, but they love Krishna too much, and so they stop. And Krishna then makes a sign, before you enter Nandagram, and before you go in the cowherd barns, you should all drink to your full satisfaction the crystal clear lake of Braj. So they all come to this one lake before Nandagram, and they drink to their full satisfaction. Some cows do not come. They wait until Krishna calls their name. So Krishna knows these cows want my special attention, and he plays their names on his flute to call a specific stray cow. I find this very soothing. I'm also a stray dog, actually. Not a saintly cow, you know, someone who left Krishna and is in this world. You are all good Vaishnavas, you are good, but I'm very bad. So I feel sometimes, oh, very bad. Oh, if the Vaishnavas would not pay attention to me, if they wouldn't invite me, what will come? I would just stay in the streets of Germany and try to say something to the conditioned souls. But then Bhakti Charu Maharaj caught me in Cologne and says, you come on the cruise. And I thought, cruise? What is cruise? I didn't know what is cruise. We don't speak English very well, so then I think he knew the German word. He said Kreuzfahrt or something. But Dieter Umaraj sometimes talks to German in German with me, and I have a hard understanding. So I thought, I will go wherever you go. Main thing is, I'm with you. So but I was just thinking, this is like a kind Vaishnava shows attention to us and calls us Krishna, and we want to be called, no? We want to be called. We don't want to be ignored. We want that the Vaishnava knows our case and has us somehow in his files, you know, of the memory, and gives us some mercy or praise to us. So the cows have this attention deficit also. They want the attention of Krishna, so they don't come until Krishna goes, plays the raga, and then call them, and the cows very happily come. Krishna will not forget any one of us. Prabhupada says, listen to this, that Krishna is attentive to us even before we start praying to him. It means even before the time comes where you feel a little bit awakening to Krishna consciousness, and you think, oh, maybe I should read the Bhagavad Gita, maybe I should pray also, my life is a little godless at the moment, I have to really increase the Krishna portion in my life. Even before you make this decision to become a devotee, Krishna already has taken care of you. And my proof is always that you meet the devotees in some way, which is clearly an arranged way, and then you feel in your heart the clouds of ignorance are a little less dense so that you can respond to this. The way we get Prabhupada's books, for instance, is clearly an arrangement. Krishna's arrangement. I know in Germany there was once a man who was, you know, what is it called? Fishing. Is it called fishing? Is it? And he was fishing. And he had already two fishes, you know, that you catch them while they are alive, and then you just go like, bang, and kill the fish, and then you eat it, boil it. That's how you do it. So he had already killed two fishes like this on that day. He felt, no, I don't want to do this any longer. I really don't feel it's good to kill fishes. So as he was fishing, all of a sudden, there was something on his fishing. What is it called? Stick? Fishing rod?
On the hook.
On the hook, yeah. Very heavy. Oh no, it's another fish. I really don't want a fish. I don't want to kill. So I guess it's my duty, you know. He takes it out. And do you know what he finds inside? It's a Krishna book wrapped in plastic, you know. So he somehow, the book just got in the plastic and he got it. This is Krishna's arrangement. It's not an ordinary happening. So Krishna has you on his list before you start praying, but Prabhupada said, especially when you start chanting, Krishna keeps a list in his heart where your name is there. So how does Krishna look when he comes home? First, no one sees Krishna and Braj. What they see is a huge dust cloud. How is the dust cloud there? By the cows, yes. The cows, they walk on Mother Earth and they leave their footprints in the earth, which then becomes like wounds. Imagine a cow would walk over you. He would have wounds all over. So Bhumi has wounds all over from these cows. See, and the dust is flying. But because Krishna's lotus feet are walking after the cows, the wounds are healed, soothingly closed, finished, no pain any longer. So then the Brijvasis see that some devatas are coming down to catch the dust and put it on their head, which is coming from the footprints of Lord Krishna, and so on. Then they hear the mooing of the cows. They don't see Krishna as of yet. Then they hear the flute playing of the boys. Then they see the dancing boys. And finally, I want to make a sound for you. The cloud is no longer there. From the brilliant body of Krishna, a light emanates, which just races and dashes over the horizon, because Krishna looks like a glowing sapphire. You know, sapphire is a blue, like a diamond, a blue thing. And Krishna is so full of natural effulgence, you know. And the Brijvasis see Krishna from the town's gate coming, playing his flute, and fascinating them, and all the pangs of separation are going away. The scriptures say they welcome Krishna, each one according to his capacity, with a welcoming ceremony. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they see Krishna and they offer him an aarti. Krishna says, "Father, Ma," and he runs towards them, and he feels so much love for Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, who are there just waving the arti light to take all the inauspiciousness, all the darkness away from Krishna, circling it around with tears of love. And Krishna runs, Ma! Runs. And then before seeing them, he pays his obeisances and he lies there, according to Sanat Kumar, Sanita, and other scriptures say, they embrace him, and Nanda Maharaj immediately sniffs the body of the hair of Krishna that releases the child. And Mother Yashoda involuntarily milk starts wettening her clothes as she sees her boy Krishna. Thinks, you must be hungry, dear. She has already some sweets for Krishna, feeds him. Krishna looks at them with this eyes. It's a very loving reunion. Some throw petals of flowers down from the roof. Jiva Goswami describes in Gopal Champu. They all greet Krishna. And Krishna, again, exchanges loving glances with all his devotees, with all the Brijvasis. And in this way, he comes home. This is Krishna's homecoming. And what does this mean for all of us? This was Krishna being received by the Brijvasis. But what does this mean for all of us? Is it yet another nice story, a nice evening, which we will forget as soon as we go to bed? What can we take out of it, my dear devotees? Is there anything we can take out of it? This receiving Krishna in the temple of our heart is a very, very important subject which needs to be pondered by devotees. This somehow capturing Krishna, greeting Krishna is very important. Our movement is for this type of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. We have to hear Krishna Katha like this, and we have to. But how can we have access to this? And I would like to tell you something which is now very important. I had heard Brihad Bhagavatamrita from Bhakti Chalu Maharaj very early when you came to Heidelberg. It must be 87 or 86, like this. And I heard many times the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In fact, whenever he would come, I would say, can you tell the story again? You know. In Germany, we say, you tell children's stories so that they... You tell children stories so that they fall asleep. Some of you have shown this evening your youthful nature. But you tell grown-up people stories so that they wake up. So I wanted to hear again and again from Maharaj, please. He said, I've done so many tapes on there. Please again, tell it again. You know it. Many times Maharaj talked about it, and I always liked the scene, you know, where Gop Kumar finally hears Krishna's the flutes, you know, doesn't see Krishna as of yet because he's covered with this cloud, and he runs to Krishna, and as he runs, he notices that the Yamuna stops just going down her riverbed, but turns around and runs to touch Krishna's feet. So he runs, and then he sees how Krishna sees him. Krishna runs towards him, and then he asks him, where were you? Krishna asks Gokuma, where were you? How could you tolerate to be so long separated from me? I was waiting for you, Krishna. You know, it's not just a Haribol Prabhu, you know, it's really an emotional meeting, you know. How are you? From where did you come? Where do you go? How is your health? You know, typical conversational questions to start something. No, it was really a moving union. Where were you? Krishna embraces Gop Kumar so and is so emotional that he falls on the ground. And our Maharaj has told us this in the morning. All the gopis and all the gopas, they think, my God, this is a demon. He is in disguise. They raise their sticks, you know. And Krishna wetens the ground with his tears as he sobs uncontrollable. And then Balaram understands the situation and tells the Gopakumar, you just say his name in his ear. And the Gopakumar very tenderly goes, Krishna, Krishna. Then Krishna gets up again. My dear devotees, this is what Gopakumar does. Calling the holy name is also necessary for all of you. Yesterday I read from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur a very nice little segment. He says, how we are first introduced to Krishna. Gopakumar, we heard him, you know, he finally heard the flute and he met Krishna in Vrindavan and embraced Krishna, was locked in a loving embrace. How will we become introduced to Krishna? What will be our story, our journey home? You know, what is this something for us, or will we stay eternal neophytes in this moment? No? Listen very carefully. It might be something which makes a whole turn in your life. Krishna and his name are identical. Krishna has descended, says Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to the earth as Nam. So Krishna Nam is the first introduction to Krishna. With a firm determination to reach Krishna, the jivas must first accept the name of Krishna. As our movement moves to more maturity, the devotees always engage more and more in the chanting of the holy name. They become aware that this is not just an automatic process, but one must chant properly, as it is guided by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada. There's a very nice book out by Srila, which is a wonderful a compilation of quotes of Prabhupada. It's called Chanting Hare Krishna. It's out in the known ISKCON markets. You can obtain a copy. It's really very nicely arranged with many quotes which we have not heard before. And I really recommend you to think deeply how you will meet Krishna. The first introduction will be through his holy name. This is how Krishna comes. An analogy is given. Analogies help us to see. There was once a beggar. He would always talk bad about the king. The king is so he lives in luxury. He has no heart for us poor people. And sometimes the beggar spat in the direction of the palace to show his utter disgust with the king. But the king heard that in his kingdom there is a beggar who hates him, who has turned his back against him. He heard it. The people who gave him the news thought the king would send his military and imprison this nasty beggar. But the king did something else. He disguised himself. And he came to the beggar and said, I'm also a beggar. I would like to show you the secret entrance in into the palace of the king. Would you like to see it? You can steal some things from there. Ah, said the beggar, that's a rare opportunity, but is it safe? Absolutely safe. It's a secret entry. And here is your cloth. You can also disguise yourself. So the king led him through an entry only he and his very trusted men knew into the palace. And he showed him how there was a department of welfare. He showed him how there was at the palace wall some charity to give food to the poor. There was a long line of poor. He said, oh, look, see how the king takes care of his people. All the people were taken very well care. There was a huge park with very nicely kept servants and so on. And finally, the king, who was disguised, thought the beggar, let's go to the hall where the king receives the people. Then maybe you can steal something. So he set the beggar down on a chair like this. Then he went quickly into another room and he dressed as a king. Then he came out, sat down on the throne, and the beggar said, wow, you are the king? Yes, I'm the king. And I wanted to show you how I am. I care for you. I wanted to give you a tour so that you see with your own eyes into my heart. This is how the holy name is. The beggar says, oh, sorry, I was sorry. You know about me? Of course I knew about you. Oh, sorry, please, I become a good citizen from now on. It's an analogy. Krishna is like that king. He comes to us in a form which we can perceive a little bit. You know, a little bit. That's the Krishna name, the name of Krishna. It's identical. He comes, but he comes in a sound form which we can hear. And as we hear him and accept him with affectionate respect and chant him, the holy name will lead us and reveal all the secrets of the spiritual world eventually. But we have to accept him with affectionate respect first. We have to stop our inattentive chanting. We have to first of all, see, how is it possible for me to chant with attention? I have such a bad habit to be so inattentive. How can I do that? We have to learn that, accept Krishna in this first way, how he is introduced to us. It's good to hear how the Brijvasis receive Krishna, but it's necessary for us to hear how we can receive Krishna. We can receive him, although we have turned our backs, in the form of the holy name. The holy name will guide us back to Godhead. And there is this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Naam Mahatmya, which describes how the holy name takes us to Vrindavan and reveals his own form to us as Krishna, and reveals our own eternal spiritual form to us, just like the king who came and later revealed himself to the beggar. Krishna comes with his holy name first and later reveals himself. So, Hare Krishna. I hope this was, let me say, informative for you. I hope your a little bit eagerness and wonder for Krishna has been stimulated, and I hope you also have start to think very deeply, because let us not be idealistic. We have one more full day tomorrow, Sunday, and then Monday, 7 o'clock, comes cruise number 2. Yes, you will then, you are expected to sail through your life. You all have the human form of life, which is like a good sturdy boat. The Krishna's instructions are like favorable winds, breezes, that is going to master. Srila Prabhupada is like your steering boat, and it is expected that you will start your cruise in all earnestness after this cruise, part one. Part two is coming, where you cruise over the ocean of samsara with the help of Srila Prabhupada as the helmsman and the favorable winds of Lord Krishna's instructions. Wish you all very well. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Question.
Oh my God, it's 10 minutes to 10.
Have some questions.
Beacon, yes? Okay, so we will. Are there any questions? Sandra Moli Maharaj?
Simple question. Maybe yourself or Bhakti Chumaras can answer. Gopakumara, when he went back to the spiritual world, his actual transcendental eternal name was revealed. Do you remember that name?
Swarup.
Swarup. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Swarup. Uh-huh. Yes, Swarup. One devotee asked me today, how is it, it must have taken quite some time, you know, he was Brahma, and we know a little minute in the Brahma Loka is thousands, millions of years, kalpas even. Well, he was blessed with three things. One was his body remained ever youthful, that was a blessing. And his mind was never distracted by any other locations. He kept single-minded attention. There is a third blessing which I forgot. But, yes.
Third question?
Yeah. Hare Krishna. The mother of Kasturi Manjari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I first met this wonderful devotee in an airport dress. She was in airport dress. And she came and said, Hare Krishna Maharaj. I thought this was an airport person. And now I would be in trouble for some offense I didn't even know about. But no, by her smile, immediately I could see, oh yes. Okay, and then she captured me, no, captured is not the word, she brought me through the fast line, like this, Hare Krishna. And then she got Radhanath Maharaj and got him through the fast line. Amazing service. Yes. I'm sorry to embarrass you, but...
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is regarding Gopakumar. He had to go through such a thing to go to Golok Vrindavan. So what chance do we have? He was so pious and we are so downtrodden. So what chance do we have?
It is described that Gopakumar, the spiritual master, when he was in the process of instructing him about the mantra, became just so overwhelmed that he just fainted and fell down. There was not, instructions were not given, because they're too ecstatic. The second time, that was during the initiation. His guru just was so ecstatic, fell down, and had not finished the instruction. And when he got up, he was so moved, he just walked away. Second time, when he met him in Puri, he gave a few more instructions, but again was overwhelmed by ecstasy. So, because, it's, you know, therefore he did not really know who is the Lord of his mantra. And he went through different revelations of Krishna in different planets. It just, he felt a little discomfortable everywhere. He just got elevated his journey, and then he was sent back to Vrindavan and practiced there in the Vrindavan consciousness, you know. And then he became eligible to return back home. So, what are your chances, you ask? It is... see, Prabhupada has really given full instructions in so many books. You can know everything from the books about Vrindavan and about the mantra and the meaning of the mantra and so on. And you will digest this, but if you have worms, it will not work. Once Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, gave a nice example, he said, he was asked by someone, there are so many devotees in the mud, but they seem to not make advancement. They quarrel and do all kinds of things. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, they have worms. You know, worms is, we have all eaten, so it's not before eating when we discuss the worms. Worms take the food which are meant to nourish you. They sit in the stomach or wherever, and they eat the food and digest it. What comes out of, I don't want to go so graphic. You know, if you have material desires and anattas in spiritual life, and you don't take care while you are watering the Bhakti Lata beach, that this goes away, and work about it, then the wonderful things which you do, the wonderful instructions that you get will not nourish you very well, and so on. So your chance is very good, because the instructions are all there, but this little work you have to do to purify your heart so that you can really be attracted. In one of the lectures, Arunath Maharaj said, we are all naturally attracted to Krishna like iron fillings or iron particles to a magnet. But if it's covered with rust, this brown thing, then the attraction doesn't work. So we have to do the little part, our work, the weeding a little bit the things. And it's very important that we do this. And then follow the instruction. And then we have our chance. Hare Krishna. I would like to stop here because of that time factor. Our devotee will give us the announcements now so that we will all hear them while we are, every one of us is here.
Thank you, Maharaj. His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj ki. Jai. 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 Before I start on the schedule for tomorrow's, I'd just like to thank you, the transportation team, for doing a wonderful job today, all of them, to making sure that everybody got there to the meeting point when we were starting the Harinam, and also bringing everybody back onto the ship. So, three Hari Bols to them. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Thank you for that. In charge of that. And also, three Hari Bols to all the devotees for performing a wonderful Hari Kirtan as well.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!